KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Makes you good morning. Makes you go get her if you go get them.
That's right.
First of all, Neil is an internet sensation. Did anybody see that on Facebook? Or were you blinded like I was?
You were probably
blinded. What were you doing? I know the Shields has got a
big promo coming up.
But when I saw you on the internet, I didn't know if you were advertising for Oakley sunglasses or Ray-Ban.
I polished my head for 3 minutes prior to that little ordeal.
Man.
I looked good, too.
Another thing, I tell you guys, I got in a little bit of trouble. I went out to eat. All right. Maybe you guys can help me on this here before we get started. See where I went wrong. I went out to eat, and the waiter asked me first. He says, "What would you like to eat?" And I said, "Well, I'll have a steak." You know, I like a steak, man. He says, "Well, how do you want your steak?" I said, "Well, I kind of like it rare, medium rare." And he goes, "Oh," he goes, "what about mad cow? Aren't you worried about the mad cow?" And I said, "Well, I think she could order for herself." And then the argument started. I mean, where did I go wrong? Do you think I should have maybe ordered chicken instead? Or
yeah, chicken, chicken or fish would have been a better option for you. Oh my God.
Oh, speaking of fish.
That's right. We start with a bad joke, and we go to a fisherman who's no joke of a fisherman.
I was reading some weigh-ins, and he comes in on the first day, you know, sloughing off with only two fish.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody else comes in with a bag.
Bag of fish. He's only got two.
This guy comes in with two, says, "I win."
Yeah, really. But when your two fish weigh 14 pounds, you know you did something right.
Or even 15. We got Nate Gilkey, who was part of a two-man team that won the MWC Big Stone last weekend.
Nate.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Well, we're surviving. I just about got killed last night when I went out to eat. I should have probably ordered chicken instead of...
How's things over in the land of 10,000 lakes?
Well, we're ice free finally. The snow's melted and the fish are starting to bite.
That's good. I saw a picture from Steve Peach last night, and they have snow up at Pelican Rapid.
I know it. It's like geez, get the augers out again. Here we go. It's going to extend the ice fishing season. Speaking of snow, MWC last weekend that was a Friday Saturday ordeal. Did you guys receive any of that snow on Saturday up there? Did it kind of change things up?
You know, fortunately, the weatherman's forecast was wrong in the right direction for once for us, and we got a little rain in the morning, but nothing terrible, and it actually shaped up to be a pretty darn nice day that Saturday afternoon. So,
wow. Yeah, in the history of the Big Stone MWC, that was probably in the top three all time for weather.
We'll take that every time.
It is, exactly. Well... They had a two-day tournament up there, Friday, Saturday. Friday, you came in some extremely big fish. Saturday, you ended up turning around and you're winning it. Tell us a little bit about the Big Stone and MWC. I know you don't want to divulge too much because I know we got some more stuff going on up there, but kind of give us the ins and outs of what's going on around there. What's the water looking like?
Well, this past weekend, the water... was still high. There was a lot of runoff and snow melt with all the snow from the winter that pushed that lake up about 3 feet, maybe 3.5 feet over normal pool, right as the ice was going out. And the water clarity up there, normally Big Stone is a pretty clear lake. There was clarity maybe 6 to 10 inches for the most part throughout the lake and the whole system. So a lot different conditions this year than what we've seen in years past on Big Stone as far as water levels and the clarity piece.
Well, at least when the water's high like that and you start at the foot of the lake, you didn't have to battle all those weeds just to get out.
Well, and the weed growth is, I think, was a little bit stunted this year with that heavy snowpack and the sunlight penetration not being able to come through the ice. And so there was spots that you could fish this year that in years past were already full of weeds this time of year. So that was a good thing, too.
Good. Did you see that water clarity change during the tournament, or did it pretty much stay stained the whole time?
It was pretty stained the whole time. I was up there the weekend before, kind of poking around a little bit here and there, and the ice pack was still covering the lake anywhere from 50 to 60% was still ice covered on that Saturday prior to the event. And when we got up there Saturday, the water temp was in the mid-40s, and which was, I thought was pretty warm considering how much ice was still on the lake. But, you know, it went fast, and we had some warm weather throughout the first part of the week that really pushed those water temps up. We had water temps pretty steady overnight, even into the low 50s. So the fish, I think, had spawned the week before. The males were still kind of doing their spawn thing. But the female fish, the big fish that we were keying in on, they were all post-spawn and starting to put the feed bag back on.
It would have been nice to see how much they would have weighed if they were full. Maybe.
Yeah, that what amazes me is, you know, you talk about fishermen up at Big Stone. You get Artie Arndt, you get the Hartman boys, Sonny. You know, they pretty much say if they're in a tournament, they're going to be in the top. But now it seems to be getting to be Nate Gilkey. If he fishes Big Stone, you might want to see what he's doing. You've been very consistent, very good up there the last few years. Why is that? When Big Stone cripples so many people, how do you think you're doing so well?
Well, I think one of the things we go out with is we know the bite's tough, and it's going to be a long day, a mental grind. It's more of a mental thing, I think, than actually fishing. And just knowing that you've got a, you know, roughly 8-hour day, and you've got to stay focused that full 8 hours, because those bites can come any time of the day. You know, we struggled the first day of the tournament. Our game plan was to get the five small male fish first, and we ran up the lake, and we struggled. We could not get a bite. Water was dirty, stuff in the water, weeds and debris, and we were sitting at 11:30 without a fish in the boat, and you know, the game plan changed then, and we said, okay, we got to get ourselves in this tournament. Let's go and try to find a big fish or two and at least position ourselves for day two. We don't want to come in with nothing on day one, because that's a big big hill to climb on the second day. And we made a big game plan change. We ran down the lake and fished some big fish, post-spawn big fish spots that we've had from years past. And within an hour, we had those two 28-inch 7-pounders in the boat, and the day changed in the blink of an eye.
So, well, that can sure happen, too.
Were those the only two bites you had? I know, I'm sure you probably, you know, it's that gamble game. Do you keep or do you throw? But when you got a couple 7-pound fish, I'm going to keep them. But did you have any more bites after that in the big area?
This is even a better story.
Well, those were the first two fish we had in the boat. We had another 23-incher later in the day that we didn't need, but we struggled to find those males even after we had the big fish. So our day two...
Go ahead.
Our day two game plan was to look for those big fish first again and then try to backfill the limit. And we had a cameraman in the boat to start the day off, and we got to our spot, got set up. My partner, Sean, great jig fisherman, makes his first pitch of the day, sets the hook on a 27-incher. So that we started the morning out on a high note, took a little of that tournament tension out of the boat, and by 10 o'clock we had another 25.5-incher in, and we got out of there and went back up the lake trying to find those male fish. And there was a big pack of boats. We knew where they all were. We kind of stayed off the edge of those and picked off one here and one there, kind of thing. We had another one on late in the day. Saw it, you know, those males were so tight to shore. You were literally casting and bouncing your jig off the rock to get those fish to bite. And when they'd bite, you could see them turn or roll. And we saw it, and we kind of guessed maybe 20, maybe 19, but we never got it to the boat. And when that happened, we kind of thought, oh, man, we just maybe lost this tournament. But fortunately, we went in with the four we had, and it turned out to be enough of a weight to keep us in it. So.
That's amazing. Good for you. That's
well, they pulled out. I know there's quite a bit of ching involved there. And what was the winning total that you ended up with?
We were just over 30 pounds for our 2 days. We had a little over 15 pounds the second day and 15 the first day. So
good for you. That's a good deal. How many tournaments up there in Big Stone have you been in the top 10 in, Nate?
Oh man, I don't know. 12, 13, 14 over the year, something like that.
What color boat you have? What do you drive for a car?
Randy Engermeyer used to get in a lot of top 10s in the tournament, too, but there was only 9 teams in them.
I got a top 5 once when there was only 4 people in the tournament, so it wasn't too bad.
Hey, a top 10's a top 10.
Exactly. It all looks good on paper, don't it?
It does, yep.
So you got another tournament coming up this weekend. What's going on in Big Stone this weekend?
Well, the Minnesota Tournament Trail Circuit is making their MTT is making their what they'll be their first stop of the year. They typically start the season out down in Red Wing, but with all the high water in the Mississippi this year, a lot of the tournament circuits have been canceling or postponing. I just saw the AIM Weekend Walleye Series move their tournament here mid-May out to June because of high water, and the NWT guys, they're out on Oshkosh, Wisconsin today.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Chip about that in a little bit.
They were supposed to fish Red Wing this week as well, so MTT will be out there to kick off their season. We always look forward to going out and fishing that MTT circuit on Big Stone. And
how many boats are you looking at?
We'll probably see somewhere in that 40 to 50 range. MWC, I think, had 51 teams competing last weekend, so right around that 40 to 50. But this weather this week has kind of been a little off, so I don't anticipate too much change as far as water temp goes, but it's supposed to warm through the weekend, so hopefully that'll get those fish biting a little better than we saw last weekend.
Go ahead.
I said we caught 7 fish for the weekend last weekend, and that's a long 16 hours in the boat, you know. Yeah. And like I said before, it's that mental game of just keeping yourself focused and continuing to make casts, and every cast you make, you know, could be the cast. So
that's a tough one. Yeah. Well, Nate, we gotta get going. We gotta get Chip Lehrer on the phone from NWT.
Don't you come on? You don't have 3 lines, Randy. What's going on?
I wish you the best here this coming week in MTT, and watch out for the big tournament up there. I know the Big Stone Bar has a tournament on.
Oh,
big Stone.
Watch out for that! Ooh, that's gonna be bigger. Well, good luck this weekend, Nate. Thanks for your input.
Hey, thank you guys again for having me on, and have a great day.
Yep,
good luck, Nate.
Yep.
Thank you.
So I turned to Randy and I said, "Randy, give Chip a call so we get him on the line."
We got one line.
We got one line.
That's right.
And one phone. What good kind of an operation is this? You know, I mean,
we got to get Ma Bell in here and get a new rotary phone. I tell you what, that Nate Gilkey is tough.
Where's he out of?
He's from over by Minneapolis. I'm not even
sure. I should have asked him.
He's Minnesota. He's been in that Big Stone all the time over there.
Yeah.
Caught him on them blue plugs years ago. You know, he was the first one up there to finish with them things. He's doing good. Yeah. I like the idea.
Well, I think it sounds like he does his homework, though. I mean, that's what it's all about, especially when you come to a body of water like that. You know, it's all about homework. Got to get up there a little bit earlier than you expect. And,
a little focus, maintaining your focus on a lake when you don't get 7 bites all weekend.
How would you like to sit there for two straight, you know, up there one day, and obviously he only had 2 bites.
Yeah.
But they were 2 good bites. When you look at 7 pounds of fish, I mean, what was it, 14-something for 2?
Yeah, 15 for 2. The first day and 15-something the second.
Yeah, that's an absolute beautiful deal. Speaking of picking up some fish.
Now we go out from Big Stone. Oshkosh, bagosh.
Is it Oshkosh? Chip Lehrer, live on the radio. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing really well. We're talking a little bit of fishing this morning, and it sounds like you guys and the MTT made that change as well, but it sounds like you guys are not going to be fishing in Red Wing. Decided to make the move. What's the deal? What's going on in Red Wing? That water's just too high?
There was definitely flood conditions there, which we actually made this decision, oh my gosh, probably 2 months, maybe 8 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago. We looked at the long-term forecast. I mean, last year we did this. We had to bail on a river event right away, and we did it with literally 8 or 10 days to go or something like that.
Yeah, I fished up there before.
A little better indication we're going to have some high water, so we're here, and there's definitely high water on the Winnebago system, but it's fishable. There's some no wakes in the river, very very fishable conditions here at Lake Winnebago in Wisconsin. It's awesome. Our 2019 is underway. We got the biggest field in our history with 166 pros, 166 co's. It's a massive
nice
field, which will make some big payouts to kick off 2019.
Yeah, it seems like your move was a good idea. I couldn't believe it when I saw the size of the field there today. What are you looking at for weights coming in, and who's the guy you got to be watching, you suppose?
Well, I think that there's, from a weight standpoint, I'm getting all, it's going to be really interesting to see exactly what happens. Last week in the same event, about a third of the field would have had a limit. So, you know, I'm going to guess we're going to see about the same thing here. We certainly aren't going to see 110 boats with limits like we did a year ago when we were here. But we are going to see, we should see some more. I mean, things are getting better every single day. And if this, the weather is very fishable today. It's been windy, rainy, and cold. Today it's drizzly, 40, and light wind. So the angler is going to get to where they want. So I think you'll see some weight. I don't know if we're going to be pushing 17, 18, 20-pound bags, but I certainly think that 12 or 14 is going to keep you in the hunt. And a kicker fish that puts you into a 15-pound bag, 16-pound bag for the day, get a couple of those days together, and you could be sitting real good. You know, who to look out for, of course, you want to look out. Last week, Brian Dunn was the winner of the AIM event here, so obviously local guy, he's in the event and fished very well this last weekend. So does that play over? Does that stay true? Who knows? Historically, our top finisher here at Winnebago for all the National Walleye Tour events, Robert Brueger is number one. He's had some incredible finishes for the events that he's in here. Carl Springle has Corey Springle Corey. Has been very obviously won events here and been very consistent, but he is behind Brueger in terms of average finishes here. Thomas Carlos is not here. He's actually in third place for average finish for here. Bill Shimoda, been very, very consistent over the years on this system, as Kevin McCoy has. So I think those guys right there, those four guys that are fishing, plus Dunn, those are some good names to watch as we open up weigh-ins this afternoon, 3 p.m. live on NationalWalleyeTour.com.
That's right. And you brought up Tommy Scarlett's name. We should have a shout-out to our friend Tommy as he has a health battle going on. Tommy, we're all thinking of you. Know you'll come out good on the other side.
Absolutely. The support for Tommy has been absolutely phenomenal here. You got a lot of boats running his NPAA number 11. Scarlett Strong bracelets are everywhere.
That's nice.
It's really cool to see. And, you know, he's got a GoFundMe page, so we certainly ask that everybody go take a look there, because our friend Tommy and his family need our love, support, and most importantly, prayers.
That's right. He's a heck of a guy, and he's had a rough go the last few years. And, Tommy, we hope everything turns out great.
But I tell you, what an example. This guy is so positive, you know, even in a time like this. And it just goes to show you. That's why he's such a good fisherman as well.
Yep.
Well, he's always been an incredibly positive thinker, and I think you put that along with his faith, and that's the backbone of who he is. So, heck, maybe you guys should get him on the radio. I know he may be laid up a little bit, but he can still talk.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah. We usually have him on the radio.
We always have to plan at least 45 minutes for Tommy on a 20-minute show. So
what, you sent him off this morning at 7?
Yeah, 7 o'clock we kicked off here this morning. So it took us about 28 minutes to get all the boats out of the harbor here. And then they come back in, 5 flights, 3, 3:30, 4, and so on. We'll weigh in live, nationalwalleyetour.com. Of course, we'll be updating Facebook and social media pages throughout the weekend here. There's nothing like the excitement of the first event of the year. I mean, if you're a walleye fan and you love this, everybody's, one, you get to see everybody. You haven't seen everybody all winter. Mm-hmm. Two, just the anticipation and the excitement that, you know what, at Angler of the Year points are all even. Everybody's got an equal shot at this.
Heck, I even got a shot.
Here we go, and let's get the, you know, it's go time. So everybody's just excited to go fish, put a fish in the box, and get across the stage, and let's get this thing going, man.
How's the
fun? I mean, we're going to probably top out with contingency money here with a field of $165,000.
Yeah,
we give away generally over $2 million for the four events that we do every year. So, I mean, this will be $500,000 between prizes, boats, motors, trailers, contingencies, all that other side stuff. There's a lot of money going to give away in the next 2 days here on Bagel.
And people understand that this is a pro-am type of a fishing tournament, so the amateur side as well has got some fantastic prizes too.
You got it. I mean, everybody does real well, and that's really inexpensive. I think it's $350 to show up as a co-angler, and all you got to do is hop in the boat
with some lunch.
Take care of everything.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, is your you know, turnout's looking pretty positive for the rest of the year. Are you getting a lot of people already ready for the rest of the tournaments? Is everything looking real strong?
Yeah, we got 3 weeks off, and our next stop is Marinette, Wisconsin, which will be the Bay of Green Bay. And I think it's one of the reasons we have 166 boats here is the fact that that is so close to where we are right now. It's not that far up the road. If you fish, if you live and fish in the Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, Winnebago chain area, you're fishing Green Bay too. So it's a lot of the same people fishing just a different body of water, just a little bit further north. Now Marinette's up on the west shore there, where we're gonna have our next event, but the waters are all still very similar. So I think that we're gonna see a big crowd there. Good numbers, and it kicks off 2019. It also shows you there's a lot of people that want to fish big money walleye tournaments.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, perfect. Well, yeah. We can check them out online.
Check this afternoon. I'm going to be watching, see how Chip's weighing these guys in. I got a couple friends out there. I hope they do well. And Chip, we'll check in with you next time before Marinette.
Hey, anything you guys need, just give me a shout. I'm happy to update anytime.
Thank you much, sir. Have a great day.
Chip, we are there.
And my buddy Jeff Fellin from Pollock chimed in. He said, fishing's good up in Pollock. In fact, it's better than farming. So evidently, they're still getting some wet.
You could probably fish at the farm the way things are going.
Oh, boy, yep. Well, yeah. We're winding up to the top of the hour, Andy, for another week of On the Water
Survived
and in the Air.
On the Weeder, on the Air?
No.
That's what I'm going fishing with my waiters. That's
goodbye.
What it was.
Goodbye.